Okay, Fort Max, this week I'm going to need you to partition out the recording the same way I do so my timestamps match up in case I need to use yours.
Okay.
Synchronized swatches.
Because we're getting storms heading this way, so I'm not sure what my connection's going to be doing tonight.
The same thing it does every night.
Try to take over the world?
Superhero Time with your hosts, XV.
Mostly I just feel left out of the cursing.
Hey Mickey.
Ah, bug, die.
Paladin. And Fort Max.
Not a real tape recorder.
This is Superhero Time. If I said you were listening to it, I'd probably be lying. I'm your host, XV. Find the power pack. Joining me tonight, he's come himself, Hey Mickey.
Twice.
Sparkle, are you serious? Paladin.
Yo.
And it's too late for apologies. Fort Max.
Hello.
Of course, it only occurred to me now to have somebody be the ninja consultant from Cyberton. Oh, well.
I'm not really quite sure what you're referencing, so...
It's the Headmaster's RTM1 dubs.
Ah, okay. Alright, gotcha.
One of the most hilarious things to come out of Transformers. Unintentionally. Because those are... direct quotes from the dub.
Right, yes, we've all heard the stories. I just didn't know specifically what the quotes were.
That's also where New Soundwave got its name from.
Isn't New Soundwave about video games, though?
It is now, but when New Soundwave was started, it was the General Geekery podcast.
But they still picked a Transformer-related name for?
Well, it is the TF Radio Network.
Should we have a Transformers-themed name, too?
No. No, obviously with the likes of Fanboy Versus, Outside the Cage, and whatever else there is, we've gotten past that.
So is Outside the Cage like about sharks or something?
No, it's about wrestling and mixed martial arts. Ultimate fighting, that kind of thing. It's very occasional.
Another's occasional.
They did a beta for Screen Views, which is like the movie and TV show podcast. And there's also 2099 Bitmapped, which is another occasional one about, I guess, the Marvel 2099 comics. And
wait, they still make those?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I'm not in the comics scene. That's why I'm not on Fanboy Versus, except occasionally when they want to torture me. And then, you
I
know.
I thought that's what this show was for.
No, this is torturing you. I didn't even miss a beat there, did I?
No more than he did with his mother.
Oh.
Snap. Snapped your mom.
For a nickel.
Speaking of, it was a sad weekend when we found out that the Macho Man, Randy Savage, died.
If only someone could have the most inappropriate tweet ever.
Inappropriate, but utterly hilarious. Fort Max, would you like to help us out there?
Snap into a windshield.
Oh, yeah!
Now, I have to ask, did you think of that yourself, or...
Or did your mother help you?
Bling liquid Velcro.
Oh, was that his?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems about right. Good going, Graham. Alright, so, today we had scans of Gokai Silver-related materials showing such things as actual images of the costume and the human face behind the helmet.
And right. That should be appearing in the show sometime soon.
Like,
from
next week.
Yeah. Yeah, the preview shows the Six Ranger keys being used, so,
starting with the dead Sixth Rangers, I notice.
Well, yes, and those scans show how Gokai Silver gets his powers, which
is King Ranger dead?
What?
No, in the first scan, it's Dragon Ranger, Time Fire, and I'm guessing that guy in white is Abba Killer.
Abari Killer, yeah.
Whatever.
But it also had
Dr. Maki
King Ranger
form.
In there.
Yes, but the ones that give Gokai Silver his powers are the dead ones.
Aw.
King Ranger doesn't give him any powers.
Just a giant pyramid.
And a wheel.
So that super mode is looking kind of odd as an actual object.
It's no worse than Decades Complete Form.
Oh, it's a little worse than Decades Complete Form. That just has a shawl of playing cards. This is more like a chest full of give me your faces.
It would be awesome if he touched the heads and they would light up and say something. Like a toy for babies.
Or like Decades K-Touch.
No, I'm imagining
the Dragon Ranger says,
like,
ooh.
No, Dragon Ranger says, no way!
Wrong again. We all know Dragon Ranger says betrayed.
Yep.
Then when he takes it off, power fail.
Power Rangers Remastered, we miss you.
They should remaster Samurai.
Haven't they?
No, they should make it cheesier and more retarded and then be interesting.
Is that possible?
The Cybernet Space Cube makes everything better. Or something.
It makes everything more G2.
Yes, and that means it's better. More G2 is better. Neon.
Guns.
Yeah. Neon guns from G.I. Joe. So, yeah, that should be an interesting episode next week with the massive
Every
showing
episode
off of
Gokaiger is interesting.
Yes, but this will be interesting in its own unique way. Then it'll be interesting to see how Gokai Silver gradually ceases to matter at all. Of course,
until they have more merchandise to sell.
Well, Gokaiger's kind of avoided all the typical Sentai pitfalls so far. So maybe it'll keep Gokai Silver relevant.
Well, aside from the sending a monster each week.
Well, you kind of have to have that, though, don't you?
Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't have a toku show.
Right.
Well, blame Commander Nepotism for that one.
Well, not always. Not this week. This week he didn't even know what was going on. And
when does he?
Well, I didn't know what was going on this week either.
No one knew
what was going on.
On.
It was greatness going on.
And we will talk about that in a few minutes.
First things first.
Yeah. So other scans included the O's summer movie with the Brakawani form and Edo period
Japan.
Oh,
look at that now, along with the medals associated with it.
Yeah, I like the cobra and turtle medal designs.
Yeah.
The gator seems to just kind of be there.
Exactly what power does the alligator medal give him?
It lets him slide along the ground.
And he can't do that with any of the regular medals because...
Yeah, I don't know why this can't be like the baseball player medal. You know, sliding in. No?
Slide
okay.
It to your mom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? No, that would be snapping to your mom. Never mind.
Practical.
I heard the Slim Jim plant closed down, too.
I think that was a coincidence, though.
Well, I don't think they closed down in response to Randy Savage's death, but it is an odd coincidence, isn't it?
Although I think Randy Savage stopped the rapture from happening. That's why he left early to put a stop to it.
No, I think a small band of really crazy religious people as opposed to regular religious people made that happen.
Oh.
But anyway, so yeah, the O's movie will somehow involve Edo period Japan mixing into modern day.
Yeah, that's going to go over real well.
At least Double had the decency to make its Edo special a dream. And quite hilarious, I might add.
Yeah.
But Double did everything well. Except for that
Wouldn't
one
it be
time.
Amusing if like shows in America did the same type of trope? Like every show was required to go back to Colonial America for an episode?
Colonial Angel Grove?
Yeah.
With the
I guess we could get the Wild West episode, that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. And, you know, in the early 90s, that happened.
A lot.
It did happen. I was there. It happened.
Like, I think one Friday on ABC, every show that was on did a Wild West episode. Because they kind of sucked like that. It is a little overused, isn't it?
No, I just think it's boring and lame. Of all the different genres I go to, that would be my absolute least favorite.
How about World War II?
No, because World War II, you know, there's some variety as to which World War II, whether you're going east or west.
How about Korea?
Well, then you get north or south, so yeah, there's still variety. Wild West is just west. There's only one direction to go.
Well, what if it's the eastern west?
It's still west, though. You never see any stories about the Wild East.
Well, there wasn't much of a Wild East.
This conversation is
exactly.
Stupid. Let's move
when
on.
Do we not have that?
Yeah. What?
What?
I don't know. Well, hopefully the O's summer movie will be a little bit better than the relevant part from Movie Wars. But we'll talk about that next week. Because it's just kind of, yeah.
So I've heard.
So, Paladin, you said that some of the Puto Terra merchandise is going to be coming out this weekend.
Right. Specifically, its entry and combo change, which is weird because it can't swap with any of the other metal configurations.
The figure
what
can't,
does it do?
Or...
the, in the show, it can't.
Okay, but the figure still breaks apart.
I assume so, yes.
Well, it better break apart or find something else interesting to do. Because I don't even see how it could pull like a Cyclone Joker Extreme and transform into a standard form.
No, there's no way in hell it can do that.
And it can't like turn into a motorcycle or anything, so I... It would
like
have
Lady
to...
Gaga?
Yeah. So anything besides the combo change?
Nothing coming to mind, but I'm sure I'm forgetting something at the moment.
Is the roleplay toy out?
The what the hell's the name of that thing anyway?
I don't know.
The Troll Packs.
Well, whether that's the name or not, that's what we're calling it right now.
It might be, I'm not sure.
The
if it's not, that'll probably be this week too.
Well, if I knew the name of it, I could search for it, but I don't really care that much.
Words to live by.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So, anything else has happened lately, or...?
Nothing coming to mind, sadly.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
It's
we
another
got started...
slow...
What?
It's another slow week.
Well, that's fine. We started a little bit late, so we probably should make up the time. So, if that's all there is in news, how about we just go ahead into Samurai?
Yeah, okay.
Samurai Forever.
Don't sound so thrilled.
While y'all discuss Samurai, I'm going to go step away for just a moment.
Why, you don't want to get spoiled on it?
No, there's matters to be spoiled that won't be my ears.
So, you want to...
I'm
going
to
like...
go shit.
Oh,
so,
okay. That's
yeah,
fine.
Y'all amuse yourselves.
Yeah, let us know when you get back. We'll wait for you. Is he gone yet? Okay, good. Ready to go?
Yeah, why not?
Sure.
So it's Emily's birthday and the others are planning a surprise party, which seems kind of difficult when you're doing it in the house you all live in together. Good thing it's Emily, though, and she's not being played very bright. And,
yeah,
you know,
played, right.
And just to make it a little bit worse, they only narrowly avoid Mia making the birthday cake. Which, considering how precise baking is, I can only assume would come out on fire or something.
There's enough disaster in the show already. They don't need to have that.
Meanwhile, Antonio is out fishing and shooting the breeze with his little lobster buddy, who's needing to soak up a bunch of text message power. And just think, somewhere somebody had to make that up. As he walks back toward town, he meets a mysterious stranger and tries to peddle a new fish recipe on him. Just as well that he refused, though. I suspect it might be a bit bland.
He just needs to try and cook the tuna.
And of course, he mistakes Decker's very long sword for fishing rods.
Yeah, that's a totally believable mistake.
Yes. Because swords and fishing rods look exactly alike, don't they?
When they're hidden in a tube, yeah, pretty much.
So the good times come to a stop when a new monster attacks and steals Emily's spirit.
Same difference.
If they can't get it back by sundown tomorrow, Emily and all the other victims will stay asleep forever. Or, I guess, until their bodies wither and die. Whatever happens first.
Or wake up a few times or something.
Suffering the closest fate closest to death that the censors would allow.
Yes.
Being in Samurai?
Exactly.
The monster brags about how it's going to retreat to the underworld so the Rangers can't defeat it before the time runs out. Which is actually pretty smart. Too bad the American writers didn't think of it.
Well, that would require them to think.
And be creative. Yes.
And write.
Yes. So later, as the Rangers are despairing over how to get the monster to come back out so they can rescue Emily's spirit, Decker appears again to explain that it's possible for the Rangers to travel to the underworld after the monster. They just have to surrender their humanity the same way he did. And they're kind of going for
it, too.
Oh, yes,
that's a very simple solution.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure that's just a button you can press and slip through the crack.
Probably happens all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure. So just before they decide to cross the point of no return, Antonio arrives with the solution to all their problems, somehow. And I can't tell you what that solution is, because despite allegedly being explained, I have absolutely no idea what was going on.
Some magnet, somehow.
Something. I think that's how the writers and actors felt through most of this, too. Mm.
But somehow or other, powering up the Clawzord to full activation somehow yanks the monster out of your mom's crack so that it can get exploded. Really, I don't get it.
I don't think the writers did either.
Then as the giant battle begins, we're treated to the first outing of the Clawzord, the Claw Battle Zord in East, West, and South modes, with some air support from the Battle Wing.
Yeah, and apparently changing by spinning the Wheel of Morality.
Wheel of Morality, turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
We're morally bankrupt!
I miss Animaniacs. What I don't get, though, is why they had to summon the Lion, Bear, and Dragon Zords to form the Battle Wing.
Because the show needed padding.
I guess. So, as the monster is destroyed, all the missing balls of non-religiously suggestive spirits return to their bodies, and Emily gets her surprise party. Maybe a day late?
Woo frickin' who.
Yeah, pretty much. So that was Samurai, and why are we still watching this?
Because we have no alternative.
Seemingly not. You know, if we just knew ahead of time what episode they were adapting, we could probably just watch the Shinkanger episodes again and substitute the names out, and nobody would know the difference.
The acting would probably be, would definitely be better.
Yes, most likely, and is it just me, or does Jaden have some really creepy facial expressions sometimes?
It's not just you.
Like, I think of that Revoltech Woody figure with that one face.
Rape face?
Yeah, that's the one. And it just seems like Jaden makes that one naturally a lot.
It's probably the major difference between Shinkendra and Samurai. Takeru's a jerk-ass, while Jaden's just kind of a douchebag.
So, basically, Samurai is led by Zane?
Yeah, I would believe that, yes.
You ever take a shit that appears to leapfrog an entire meal?
Yes.
Does this podcast count?
Because I'm pretty sure that was my Fazoli's dinner, but my barbecue lunch still is somewhere lost.
Well, remember that five-year-old pizza I tweeted about?
Yes.
I'm still not sure whatever happened to that.
It's like chewing gum in your stomach because it's going to be there for 7 years.
I'm guessing it became an episode of Samurai.
Yes, this is a very appropriate closing to our discussion on this week's episode of Samurai. Thank you, Mickey.
You're welcome.
So, Mickey, you're back just in time to talk about this week's episode of O's.
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 Come O's. On.
That's good timing.
I mean, Mickey, talk about the episode of O's.
Oh. Yeah, lots of shit happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm not prepared to talk about it right now. Hold on a sec. I hit the video to jog my memory. So.
Well played, sir.
Okay. So, last week in Commodore O's, these three things happened. Kogami made cakes, and Anka ate ice cream.
And
lots of f***ed up shit happened.
There we go. The episode's first bleep.
Yes.
And it took almost 22 minutes. Good job, guys.
So, apparently, Hina all this time wanted to be a fashion designer, which... I don't recall her ever indicating that before. Do y'all?
Yeah, who
it's
knew?
Japan and she's female, so no.
Well, I didn't think that meant she wanted to be a secretary or a housewife.
Yeah. Or both. I'm not sure how you would do both, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. But apparently she makes terrible kimonos, makes AG wear them, and people love them.
Yeah, that seemed a little... Well, it's not like it was really a surprise when AG came out wearing the costume. Because AG basically does anything she asks.
And plus, you know, AG's kind of used to wearing a ridiculous outfit, so...
I'm sure she strong-armed him into it.
Or promised him $5. You know, gotta pay for that.
Maybe probably a clean pair of underwear.
Same difference.
So she wins the contest, and they're all congratulating her, and...
And then Fashion Bitch apparently... looking incredulous at her.
Yeah. Which I feel bad for Fashion Bitch.
Yeah, me too. Well, because, you have to feel bad for Fashion Bitch because her father is Fashion Dick.
Yeah.
So
apparently
that's going around.
You didn't come in first place, so you have to drop out of school.
I was not really clear on how that conditioning worked.
It's Japan, that's how.
I mean, I understand high school is, like, you know, voluntary in Japan, but I mean, what would be the advantage to her dropping out of school? I mean, is he going to put her on the streets or something, or?
Maybe he's going to marry her off.
She's got the miniskirt to work the streets.
But yeah, Ankh, like, involuntarily congratulates Hina at winning.
Yeah, he flashes blue like he was in Shroud's Forest or something.
I miss the Blue Forest.
Yeah.
No dirt bike, though.
Give it some time. They don't have enough cell metals for it.
Shit's heating up between the Greed, which is nice.
Yeah, Kazali and other Ankh go to try to gang rape Uva, get his core metals.
And Uva decides, oh, wait a sec, I just now realized I'm at a disadvantage here.
So he figures out he's probably going to keep taking it up the ass unless he has some help.
Yeah, it's looking like he's going to try and resurrect Mizzou and Gamel.
Yeah. I don't know why he's only getting around to that now, though.
Because he's really boring and unimaginative.
Yeah. Or he's going to try and absorb all their metals all at once.
And he also has, keep in mind, he has a debt collecting agency to run.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of paperwork involved with that.
But as a result of that, he's sitting on a mountain of cell metals.
That's true.
Unfortunately,
the resurrection would make a lot more sense considering there's a rumor that we're getting a Figo Arts Gamel.
Yeah.
Of course, he doesn't seem to actually have enough core metals on hand to get this resurrection deal going.
Which begs the question, exactly how many do you need to make a Greed have full form?
Well, they kind of imply the answer a little later in the episode. Which we'll get to momentarily, I assume, Mickey?
I'm assuming it's at least a full combo set.
See, I was thinking that it was at least half, because later on he ends up with 5 of each of their medals, which, you know, is just over half of the full set.
But they both lost more than that over the course of the series, and they could still hold form.
But maybe you need at least... Maybe you need, you know, a majority of the medals to actually start up a Greed. Whereas a Greed can keep going with less.
Kind of like trying to start an engine with not much gas in it.
Something like that, yeah. There's a certain amount of input required to start the process, but not so much to sustain it.
Just like your mom.
Bearing in mind that Mezel was in pretty bad shape when she was down to 1 core metal.
Yeah.
So meanwhile,
back at the ranch, apparently it's ugly clothes day at the restaurant. To celebrate her ugly clothes win.
Yes. That's some really questionable costume design. She will be a hit in France.
So, yeah. She wants to go to France to design clothes. Because where
and
else
Fashion
would
Dick offers
Japanese.
Her a chance to go.
Yeah. So, apparently if you're Japanese, you know, being a French fashion designer is normal. I guess.
Okay.
Works for me.
But the more important thing comes up with Birth.
Well, before we get to Birth, we first get our yummy for the week. And apparently unicorns are dinosaurs.
Well, the purple metals are like legendary stuff. Not just dinosaurs.
Maybe there was a unicorn somewhere in that pile of trash.
Or something. So yes, apparently this yummy is not built on desire itself, but on the outcome of desire, which is broken dreams. Yeah. Broken dreams,
Maki's desire.
If you take the broken dreams, you can learn to fly again and learn to be so free.
Not when the broken dreams are ripped out of your head by a yummy and, you know, broken right in front of you.
Yes, this is a fairly depressing yummy to watch.
Yeah.
Maki's desire has always been the end of things, so it makes sense that the yummies he creates would go out and end specific things.
Well, it like does, desires. But usually in shows like this, whenever something bad happens, it gets erased when the monster is destroyed, and that hasn't been the case with Maki's yummies.
Well, to be fair, we've only seen them in action once, so it could vary depending on what they're ending.
True. But so far, we've seen a whole lot of people disappear and not come back. And
well,
then dreams
usually aren't something that's an actual object, so...
And it's kind of hard to have people undie from clouds of black smoke. Or harder,
so,
anyway.
Ankh and Birth begin to fight the yummy. And not Ankh, AG. But Ankh holds up the medal for AG to take. And then Uva yoinks it out of his hand. Which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah. Of course, also hilarious later is when Uva's diving to attack AG, and AG transforms into Sigurzo and basically blows him back with the force of the transformation.
Yeah.
That was good.
Nice to know that's good for something.
They copy that from RPM.
And it sets off the warning light in Kazali's mind when Uva doesn't go for his own core medal.
Does it, or was Kazali setting him up?
Little from column A, a little from column B.
Probably Kazali wants to see what happens if he can resurrect them.
And plus, he doesn't really have much use for the for core medals that aren't his.
Well, he's absorbed some. He's just afraid of absorbing all of them in case what happened to Gamelin Mezel happens to him, too. So, Birth is kind of not working out quite right.
He keeps having static.
He's seizing up.
Yes.
Someone held a magnet too close to his tape.
So,
Date pays a little visit to Kogami, because Kogami wants him to look at something.
Yes. Kogami has this x-ray of a young patient he's worried about.
A patient with a bullet in his brain.
Or at least lodged in his skull.
That's where your brain is.
Sometimes.
Yeah, just look at Fort Max.
Must we?
Aren't you curious?
Not that curious.
But surprise, it's Date.
What a twist.
Yes, apparently he was shot in the head at some point, but fortunately survived with only trivial brain damage.
As Fort Max just demonstrated.
Nicely done.
Well, see, when Date got shot in the back of the head, he was able to fashion from crude instruments around him a special device that would hold the bullet from penetrating any farther into his brain. So, unlike Iron Man, who has an arc reactor in his chest, Date has an arc reactor in the base of his skull.
And it's fueled by Odin.
Continuing the Iron Man references with Date.
Yes. Plus,
well, he looks like Iron Man.
Plus, you know, you make some special electromagnetic device to fish out bullets and shrapnel whenever you get shot in some third world country. That's just, you know, good medicine.
That's what you do.
Yeah. Common sense, man.
You go to Nashville, you go to Jack in the Box, you go to Europe, or, you know, you get core medals. You go to a third world country, you make electromagnetic devices.
Hold them up to your head to hold a bullet.
Right.
Isn't that what everyone would do?
So Date wants to know if Kogami's firing him because he has a bullet in his head. Which...
That sounds like something that someone with a bullet in their head would say.
Right, Fort Max?
I don't know.
But Kogami says that he can just go on doing as he wishes, because I guess it's very entertaining to Kogami to watch him fight with a bullet in his head.
Yeah.
Kogami's kind of like that, though, you know?
If he dies and someone else takes over his birth, Kogami gets to make a new cake.
That's true. And plus, he was probably distracted by his cotton candy suit.
That is
it's a
quite
suit
a
made purely of spun sugar.
Sugar.
The suit or Kogami?
I think Kogami's probably made of yeast and flour.
flower so stuff and things.
And then they there's a second fight with Uva leading to this scene.
Keeping up the headmaster's references.
I bet that tickles a bit.
Because there was that one scene in Headmasters of Hardhead doing Chrome Dome from behind, or was it the other way around?
Well, there's a scene in GoBots as well.
What, Mickey?
There's a scene in GoBots as well.
Ah. So, yes, lots of surprise butt sex.
Okay, so what we've got going on towards the end of the episode is we got the attempted resurrection of Gamel and Mizzul. We've got Hina being attacked by the dream-eating monster. We've got Date with a bullet in his head. And the episode ends with something completely out of left field, almost.
Yeah.
Shingo's back!
Apparently he's been recovering adequately.
Officer Casualty's not such a casualty anymore.
Yeah, and it required pretty much the thing that would make, well, probably would have happened earlier in the episode, except there was kind of an onk on his arm.
Well, all it took was for Hina to lose her dreams.
Or maybe ice cream has healing powers. We don't know.
Well, actually, it's probably took Ankh leaving.
Well, if Ankh hadn't left, I think as Shingo got stronger, he would have kicked him out.
Well, I'm talking about earlier on in the episode.
Yeah.
Shingo was clearly trying to take over earlier in the episode. It's just that there was an Ankh there.
Well, it's okay. Maybe Shingo will get injured again next episode and everything will be back to normal.
The question is what's going to happen from here?
I don't know. Maybe Ankh can find another dying person to latch onto.
Probably someone with some brain dabblage.
Don't wear the joke out now. I'm betting that Shingo ends up sacrificing his brain to replace his, Hina's dream or something stupid like that.
That would be quite a trick.
He does it through the power of love.
And burning infections. Yeah. Well, we'll find out next week, right?
Hope.
Maybe. Well, whatever. So yeah, that was O's and a lot of strange things happened.
So, this was episode 35. We got probably, 14 more episodes left in the series?
Yeah.
15 maybe? Is anyone else surprised that Goto hasn't taken over Birth yet?
Yeah, a little
bit. Not really.
I'm sorry.
Although it looks like it won't be long before he does.
Well, I mean, thought that was going to happen a long time ago, actually.
Maybe they'll pull out a second Birth driver and they'll both be Birth at once.
A double Birth?
Twins! Anything for an excuse to make another birthday cake, right?
Right.
But yes, the show is plodding right along as it winds down.
Except it's not doing the winding down part.
Well, it's winding down more than it was before it was winding down.
Which means it might wind back up again.
It's got to start pulling stuff together at this point. There's not a whole lot of time left. What was that?
Sorry, that was me pulling up Gokaider and I couldn't mute it.
Oh. Okay.
Since this episode's messed up.
Yes, that wasn't what I meant, by the way, when I said that it wasn't, you know, on Twitter before.
Oh.
I didn't need to put in a different player. This is really messed up.
Oh.
Really messed up. So I guess that means we're talking about Gokaiger now.
Yeah, why not?
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action.
So, Insarn's kind of smitten with Red Racer.
He's dreamy.
He's also out in the park somewhere putting on a traffic safety slideshow for the kids.
With apparently he got the bike from Satanaka or something.
And the Gokaigers are taking a nap up on the ship, and Navi has a little dream.
He has a fever dream, apparently.
It looked like that would have been suitable for Go-Onger as well as Car-Onger.
Yeah. The whole episode did give me sort of a Go-Onger vibe to it.
Maybe that's what Car-Onger is actually like.
Yeah, I understand Car-Onger is kind of psycho.
I don't think you're right there about the kind of part.
Ah.
I kind of watch Car-Onger now.
I watched Car Ranger versus Mega Ranger, and it was it sure was
kind of like this episode.
I don't even know what to say about this episode.
It was fantastic.
It was fantastic. It just, I mean, it just is. All the kinds of stuff that you would never expect to happen happened.
This is almost like a net episode or something.
A net movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can kind of
see. Well, welcome to Car Ranger.
So, Insarn finds one of these Zangak monsters who has a crush on her and sends him down to get her crush.
He said that he'd do anything for her back when they were in high school.
In their school uniforms.
Yes.
And all the while, from
some boats on her horns.
Yeah, that's kind of a dick move.
And all the while, there's opera music.
Well, she is evil, after all.
Well, that's true.
School uniforms. So, the monster lands with a bunch of dump troops, and to its credit, Red Racer's fighting pretty well for not having any powers.
Well, they're dump troops.
Even so.
You could throw playing cards at them and still win.
They have, haven't they?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Oh, yeah, but back to Navi's fever dream. So she tells the Gokaigers to obey the traffic safety laws.
And right away they think, what the f*** does that mean?
Well, that's what any rational person would think when confronted with that.
Or with Navi.
Same diff. So they go and get a Rules of the Road handbook.
Proceed to tell everyone they meet the traffic safety laws.
Yeah, it's like they're Blue Centurion.
Needed more evil pizza.
Or jackets.
Or salads.
Okay. I was going to say, what was the toss your salads moment in this episode?
There definitely is one in there.
The uniforms?
No.
So where were we at?
Traffic laws.
Yeah. So as they're cruising the streets trying to figure out how this is supposed to help them get the Car Ranger power.
Whatever.
They notice Red Racer running over a bridge above them with some dump troops chasing after him.
So they think, we should probably check that out.
After all, that's something I bet you don't see every day, even in Japan.
And plus, when they've gone after dump troops before when looking for the powers, it's always led to them getting the powers, so...
Except you know what I'm noticing about the Red Racer here? Is he's dressed like he was still in the 90s.
With he's the leather pants and all?
Well, they're black jeans, but they're pulled up really, really high with the shirt tucked into it.
Well, of course, that is exactly the same thing he was wearing in the 90s.
I know, it's nice that they had him dressed the same way. Like, he hasn't adapted the style of the times at all.
Maybe he just hasn't washed his clothes in 11 years.
He just jumps in the river every now and then. Fully dressed. Get all done at once.
So to save him, they bust out the Z-Ranger powers, and they're actually effective this time.
Well, it is just a bunch of dump troops. And a monster that really has no business being down there in the first place.
I like this monster's design.
I like that the monster tried to do the sword catch pose and missed.
He missed?
Yeah. Not even close. Of course, it doesn't really work anyway.
It never does.
I guess it would work with that sword since it's more blunt than a butter knife.
Well, it does work. It just has to make it dramatic for it to work.
Shut up, Fort Max. So, Red Racer offers to teach them the secret of the powers if they'll help him put on a traffic safety play.
With five colored stop lights. Somehow.
Yes, it's really a pretty good deal considering other people like want them to train with wild animals or hunt, you know, magic guys and shit.
Well, it would be a good deal except for the end of the episode. So Red Racer presents them each with a bottle of coffee milk, which, as they're backing away slowly, they set down on the street before they turn and run very quickly away from this lunatic.
Yeah, and, they would prefer to try their chances with any of the other car rangers.
Which I think is sound logic.
It really is. I love the way that the Gokaigers are written.
I love that when he introduces himself as the Red Ranger, they flash the ghost image of him in costume over himself, and he swats it away.
That's another testament to the abilities of Car Ranger, I think.
Yes.
Of course, the joke's on the Gokaigers, because probably any of the other Car Rangers would be equally, if differently, nuts.
Yeah. I mean, that's a safe assumption.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably the most sane character in that entire show is probably the mentor.
Which is a rubber suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. So they're taking off running, and Red Racer is confident in his running ability and gives chase.
Because he is Red Racer.
Yes. Who could be faster than Red Racer? Even without powers. Shut up. So I'm in Marvelous, and Milfy and Joe split up and go separate ways, and Doc is left standing in the middle with no idea where to go to hide.
So he quotes Shakespeare to himself.
And sits down and rubs his forehead.
I don't get that at all.
No.
It means he's Doc.
But it kind of fits in with the episode making no sense at all.
It's Car Ranger.
When you come right down to it, you know. So, of course, Doc gets caught. But it's okay, because he's saved, sort of, by monster showing up and shooting fireballs at him. Fort Max?
The attack of burning jealousy.
Fort Max?
Burning jealousy!
Well, there was the other one, too.
Double jealousy!
Yeah.
And then there's Flaming Jealousy Slash, which sounds like some kind of fanfic that I don't want to read.
And then Red Racer grabs...
Ten of them being written.
And then Red Racer grabs Doc and uses him as a human shield. What kind of ranger is he, anyway?
One who doesn't have any powers and is using someone who does have powers as a shield.
But he wasn't transformed. I don't think that counts.
No, it's just Doc.
Then they both sit back down and start rubbing their foreheads. But it's okay, because then Insarn shows up to save them, sort of. And then things just get really weird.
Like they weren't already.
Worse? So Insarn starts fighting the other monster to protect Red Racer. And the other Gokaigers come back and are just standing there watching the spectacle.
And then Insarn said that, "What are you doing? Help me!"
And they do.
And
with the wrong key.
You know, I really want to think that was a subtle nod to Power Rangers, since they use the Turbo Rangers powers.
Possible, but then again, Turbo Ranger and Car Ranger are pretty much interchangeable, really.
Well, it's more the names getting mixed up.
Yeah.
Well, they're both car themed, and
yeah, getting the
pretty damn similar
mixed up.
I don't think Turbo Ranger was quite this insane.
Well, I don't mean like in terms of content of the show, it's been in terms of themes. I mean, there's two car themed Sentais, so
three if you count Goanger.
Yeah.
Well, those cars talk.
So still
class Turbo Ranger even has the similar morphing sequence.
Okay, anyway. So they use the Turbo Ranger powers and Red Racer gets all offended.
No, not those.
So they pull the Car Ranger keys and rev up their morphers, apparently.
Yeah, that was new.
Well, it's Car Ranger.
And then he gives them a big old thumbs up and a sparkling smile.
And then the theme music plays.
Yes, and then Sorn tries to
bang him.
Get more aggressive.
Yeah, I was feeling slightly uncomfortable there.
Slightly?
Especially since that's probably a dude in the costume. But then Red Racer explains to Insarn that on Earth, the men are supposed to take the initiative, because, you know, it is Japan. And very deftly uses that moment to throw her off and run away.
Meanwhile, the Gokajers attack the monster using unicycles and roller skates.
Yeah, what? No, seriously, what? Fort Max, any insight
it's
there?
Power Ranger.
What?
Okay. Yeah,
you said half of a sentence, and
I asked if you had any insight there, Fort Max.
It's Car Ranger.
Shut up. If I wanted that answer, I would have gone with Paladin a minute ago. Oh, and then Red Racer yells at them for having more than one person on a bicycle.
It's not safe.
You know, just because he can.
Because they're still breaking traffic laws.
And because he's fighting for traffic safety.
So, about this point, Commander Nepotism and the others are watching from up on the ship.
And wondering what the f*** is going on.
Yeah, they're just as confused as we are by this point. Which really reinforces how much I love the writing on this show.
Yes.
Because they know that this is completely insane, and they're making everybody aware of it.
So Nepotism decides to just f*** it all and fire the lasers, the satellite lasers.
Yes.
Which then confuses the Gokajers because they didn't blow them up yet.
Yes.
I'm not sure if it was confusion as much as it was disappointment.
Well,
but you know, then Marvelous says
before,
like, "What a
so."
Then Marvelous says like, "What a bother" or something. Because I think they're getting bored with this whole Megazord thing every single time. Well, that must get old after a while, right?
It's good that Red Racer is there, though, to try and solve the problem without using a Megazord by having a love off.
And that's when we get right back to what? Just. I just don't even know what to say.
Yeah, the worst thing about this episode is that it will never be able to be replicated.
No.
We'll never ever get anything this awesome ever again.
Well, I've mentioned this before, but I worry for next year's Sentai, because I don't know how it can possibly follow up on Gokaiger. You know, the only thing I can see happening is a very serious series to follow up this awesome, mostly comedic series.
I can see them remaking, like, Go Ranger or something.
I don't know if I want that.
I don't know if anyone would want that.
I could see them going for a remake, though, as a way to break after Gokaiger.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what we get next year, either way. So, in the end,
They first used the Turbo Megazord finisher.
Yes, apparently that's the extent of the Car Ranger
That's not it. That isn't the Car Ranger powers at all.
They didn't use the Car Ranger keys.
Just sped at it and did the spinny thing. Now, if the Car Ranger keys had been used, we probably would have had a cockpit shot of the city set spinning or something.
But ultimately, this leads to the best line of the episode right at the end. After the Gokaigers agree to do the traffic safety play, and Red Racer assures them that now they have learned the secret of the Car Ranger powers, Navi comments
they do the pose,
which apparently is the Car Ranger power.
Or that, or the teaching kids traffic safety is the powers itself.
But Navi comments that, well, not all the powers are going to be useful.
They better remember that lesson when they get to meet the Gosagers.
So, that was episode, what, 15? 14?
14.
Of Gokaiger. Possibly the craziest one so far. And next week we get the introduction of Gokai Silver, apparently.
Hooray.
At least we hope so.
Well, we get something next week involving Sixth Rangers, so. Because we see it in the preview.
And apparently, he's the end.
Well, we'll find out.
As far as the powers are concerned, that's what it looks like.
He summons. Which is cool. I like that.
Well, I guess that would explain why he's got Go On Gold and Silver on one button on his phone. Because it'd be hard to transform into both of them at once. Don't you think?
They could, maybe he splits in half and becomes two half-size ones.
They'd find a way to make it work.
Yeah, probably.
So at the end of the episode, we get a new trailer for the 199 Legend War.
Yeah.
Movie.
We also get the new end sequence using clips from the movie.
Right.
So,
and yeah. It showed me something that I've always said I always wanted to see.
The Megazord army?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Finally. All the Megazords together at once.
Remind me later. I want to look for some videos on YouTube to show you along that same line. I don't know if they're still there.
I wonder how many of them will actually do anything in the Legend War.
Oh, they're all going to stand there and fire a spirit blast at them. You know that. It'll be just as lame as the end of the Goanger versus Shinkenger movie.
Actually, never mind. I'll show you the video right now.
Maybe I'll lean forward back to the computer to click on this.
Yeah, crap.
It's nothing bad. It's actually pretty cool.
Ah!
Okay, I didn't know it was going to do that. I don't know why you had your volume turned that high anyway.
It's because Ben's rewired the speakers.
To deafen you?
It's complicated how it works. Basically, if I've got the headset on, it increases the volume on the regular computer to absurd levels.
Yeah, that does sound kind of complicated. I don't even want to ask why or how.
He thought it was better that way, and, well, you know.
Again, I don't want to know why or how.
I don't even know what that was, aside from a bunch of stock footage being shot at a bunch of other stock footage.
Well, it's edited to look like they're all fighting each other.
In the style of Super Robot Wars.
What is Super Robot Wars exactly?
Video game series. Very popular.
Robots fighting?
Yeah, it mixes from a bunch of different series.
So Super Robots will war against each other?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So, based on that, someone...
And it also, it does include Shinji being a Bright Slap, so...
So, you know, someone was inspired to do the same thing, but with Sentai Robot. And thus you get Sentai Robot Wars. It's a good editing job, at least.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess we'll take a break, and Paladin reviewed something or other, I forget. So we'll listen to that and then come back to Power Playback.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
From Beast Wars to Zeta Gundam, FigureReviews.com features a library of in-depth action figure reviews and high-quality photography reaching back to 2005.
XV and RAC carefully evaluate each figure and rate it on a non-numerical scale ranging from state-of-the-art to shoot-yourself, using a special formula based on years of toy reviewing experience.
Text, photos, video, audio, informative awesome in every format. FigureReviews.com.
Superhero Time, where your mom jokes go to die.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on a Street Fighter 3.
Timmy P's real brand mayonnaise.
Welcome back to Paladin's Place for the latest entry in Superhero Times Rider Movie Month. This week's Power Playback is Kamen Rider the First. In the spirit of that, my review subject involves the first successful adaptation of Kamen Rider in America.
Master.
Okay, I admit that's an incredibly flimsy pretense for a review, but screw it. This is my review spot, and the only part in the damn show where I can talk without having to shout over the other commentators.
I wear a fez now. Fezzes are cool. Cakes are good. Well, I think most people could be defeated by having a rose shoved up their ass.
I Tim Curry'd your mom last night.
Can we shoot him now, please?
I am sorry.
So I'm using the time on something that's actually worth talking about.
Come in, Nido.
Now, Kamen Rider Dragon Knight, which was adapted using footage and characters from a Heisei-era Rider series named Ryuki, came to America in early 2009, after a long period of production struggles. The concept of a world of Kamen Riders and monsters from behind the mirrors was certainly an interesting premise, but the show started off very slow. Most of the early episodes are just a chore to sit through. Eventually, the series picked up steam, and I for one consider it to be worthwhile viewing. Producers selected Ryuki as source material for a new Rider series because it had the largest number of Kamen Riders characters to date, thus the greatest potential for merchandising relating to the show. A noble idea, but ultimately it didn't work. What little merchandise available for Dragon Knight ran the short gambit from mediocre to terrible. And if you check your local Toys R Us at the time of this broadcast, there's still a good chance you can find some unwanted Dragon Knight products on clearance. When Dragon Knight was rebroadcast for international markets, the series became a surprising hit, and new merchandise rights were picked up by a Japanese toy company named Max Factory, with the intention of releasing new Dragon Knight figures under their most popular line, Figma, a line of action figures best known for obscure video game characters and adorable females. Why they felt Dragon Knight would be a good fit for this line, I'll never understand. But I'm glad they did. I picked up my favorite character design from this series as soon as possible. And with all that backstory finally out of the way, here's my review of the brooding swordsmaster known as Kamen Rider Wing Knight.
Final Evento!
Now, at first glance, this style of figure is somewhat different from any other Kamen Rider figure I've owned. Most Rider toys are vividly colored die-cast or hard plastic material, but this Figma is a much softer, almost rubbery sort of construct, in a way that actually makes Wing Knight closer to its on-screen appearance. And I should note that this material is not inferior to any of the others, it's just a radically different approach. Articulation is still high quality, somewhat similar to SH Figure Arts in posing, but the joint structure in Figma are quite different. Many people have complained that Figma joints are too fragile in some releases, but I've encountered no problems with Wing Knight, and I haven't heard of any major stability issues with the Rider Figmas. In addition to the assortment of interchangeable hands, which seems to be standard issue for any Kamen Rider merchandise, Wing Knight comes with a variety of accessories. The most obvious one is his Dark Visor, a saber that also activates cards from Knight's Advent deck, yet another manifestation of the awesome power in children's card games. In addition, Wing Knight has a second bladed weapon activated by Sword Vent, which summons a gigantic lance for him to wield. Finally, if Wing Knight ever needs defensive abilities, he can activate Guard Vent, a large cape modeled after Knight's contract monster, Blackwing. And it also serves to remind anyone dense or retarded that he is indeed the damn Bat Rider.
Darling, I don't have to answer to you. I'm Batman.
Did he just call you darling?
So overall, I'd say Wing Knight was definitely a worthy purchase, and Dragon Knight fans who are looking for decent action figure shelf representation should certainly consider what Figma has to offer. But if you're preferring the more standard issue Rider figures, I'm sure S8 Figure Arts will get to this series in time, too. That's all for this time. Stay tuned next week for one more entry in Rider Movie Month on Superhero Time.
Hey, this is JD from Fanboy Versus. Join me, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely live every Sunday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, or download the podcast. We'll discuss the week's biggest comic news as well as review the current week's best issues. So tune in to Fanboy Versus right here on the TF Radio Network.
Go, go, Podcast Rangers, you mighty morphing Podcast Rangers. Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?
All right, Power Playback this week is Masked Rider the First, which is sort of like the Masked Rider version of the 2007 Transformers movie, kind of.
I didn't see nearly enough explosions in it for that.
That's because Michael Bay did not direct it.
I'm not sure if that would have helped it or not.
Well, there would have been more explosions and, you know, sunsets and lens flares.
And helicopters.
A little bit more breasts.
And shaky cams.
Well, there's some breasts in Masked Rider the Next, which is the sequel.
So is there also Masked Rider the Last?
No, there is no Masked Rider the Last yet.
Oh, okay.
Not yet, emphasis.
Right.
Or Masked Rider's or Masked Rider Try.
Shut up, Fort Max.
Rider Death! Rider!
Yeah!
Call me Rider! Call me Rider! Rider! Rider!
So, this basically retells the origin of Masked Rider 1, but, you know, not in 1971 anymore.
And darker and edgier, and buckets of bloodier.
Except there really wasn't buckets of blood.
Right, again, yeah. That would be the original series.
Also, it would be Shin. Kind of. Of course, that's more like buckets of spine. Alright, so...
Apparently this is closer to the original Kamen Rider manga, is that right?
I don't know, I never read that.
Let's say yes.
Okay.
Whether it's true or not, we're going with it.
So meet Hongo. He's a graduate student doing research on water crystals.
Because apparently they mirror beautiful things when beautiful things look at them.
Yeah.
Japan's college system is kind of lacking.
And apparently ice is interesting, so...
No, not ice. Water crystals.
Yeah, ice is something completely different.
Pay attention.
I don't know, what killed the dinosaurs? The water crystals just doesn't have the right ring to it.
So, one night while riding his motorcycle, minding his own business, he gets jacked by a guy in a bat mask, so that he can be rebuilt as a shocker.
Suddenly, he gives him roses.
Well, it's a moment to celebrate.
He needs a cake.
He's been chosen to become a powerful shocker beast, sort of. Or inhumanoid, as they call it in the movie.
And chosen to talk with 30-year-old footage from a TV show.
Yes, well, you know, Shocker's great leader did pass away in the meantime, so they had to...
The great leader's not Shinigami.
Whatever. The actor passed away in the meantime, so they went and used source footage instead.
Amamoto, correct? Or however that pronounce that.
Okay. I'm not picky.
Let's just call him Star Blazers.
Okay, that one went over my head. So there's been a string of bizarre murders lately, said to be perpetrated by these inhumanoids with animal powers. And these two reporters, Asuka and Katsuhiko, are targeted for knowing too much about it. Because that just that kind
kids.
Of... Yeah. Damn dog.
They didn't have a puppy, unfortunately.
So they're attacked by Spider and Hopper. Spider kills Katsuhiko before it starts snowing on Hopper and he remembers his inner Hongo. So
inner Hongo.
Being
pretty
so
sure your mom has an inner Hongo.
Being so fixated on these water crystals, it breaks through his shocker mental conditioning.
And he just kind of stands there for a little while.
Spacing out.
Just long enough for him to be mistaken by Asuka as Kazuhiko's murderer.
Which
so,
he kind of is.
He's an accessory at best.
A good lawyer can get that charge removed.
Down the
there are no good lawyers in Japan. That's the whole point of the Phoenix Wright series.
And that's probably why they needed that grasshopper yummy.
So as a result of this, we'll be treated for quite a while to come of Asuka being a bitch at Hongo. But from her perspective, it's completely deserved.
That happens a lot with females in Kamen Rider, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe if he had bothered to explain the situation rather than to stay silent and mysterious.
It's just another part of the whole mosaic of how Japan perceives women. Their secretaries, housewives, and bitches.
Also, they had a movie to fill.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a little bit. So, a little bit after this, somebody turns up looking an awful lot like Katsuhiko, but calling himself Hayato Ichimonji instead.
Or now, I was never clear. Just because.
What, Mickey?
I was never clear. Is that really him resurrected, or is it just some dude looks just like him?
I don't think they actually explained it exactly in the movie, but the intent is that Shocker got Katsuhiko's body and rebuilt him as another
pop. I suspected, but like you said, they never specified.
Right.
Did it cost 6 million yen?
Well, no, I mean, since the yen or since it works, it would be more like 60 million yen instead of just 6 million yen. So Hayato starts pursuing Asuka just, you know, because he can. You know, he's got the
hair. Because he's a Mac.
Yeah.
He likes to bang chicks.
And Asuka goes along with it because she decides she wants to be, and I quote, a loose kind of woman. Which, again, is that whole image of women in Japan. Housewife, yeah. Secretary, bitch, slut.
That's sending the right message to the target audience.
So yes, Hayato is in fact another Shocker soldier with the same hopper rebuild as Hongo.
Except because, his is defective.
Well, most of the Shocker troops are defective. Hongo's just unusual. The rebuilt humans need supportive maintenance to not die from their modifications.
And all the Shocker troops seem defective. What about the guy who worked for Kogami?
Different kind of Shocker troop. Different universe.
Damn.
That's the same reason that Mask Rider the First and this appearance doesn't appear in any of the Decade stuff.
Since when has Decade cared about continuity?
Beats me. So, the Shocker leaders aren't even willing to wait for the possibility that Hongo will eventually die from having no supportive maintenance, and they send Hayato to kill him. But Hongo's actually getting along just fine without any upkeep.
Well, he does have that snappy tie to keep him kind of well-dressed.
So as Hongo tries to return to his normal life, he's finding it hard to adjust to his new abilities, and he's causing a bit of property damage. Oh, and there's that whole thing where he crushed the lungs of that girl he tried to save from getting run over.
Oops.
Yeah. So it's right about this point that we find ourselves at a coastal hospital, following two patients for no immediately evident reason.
I was about going out of my damn mind about that whole subplot for the whole movie.
So we cut back and forth between Hongo and the hospital plots for roughly a third of the movie, during which time Hongo gets a motorcycle from Tachibana, has a few fights, and as Masked Rider gets close to Asuka in a scene that is not creepy in any way at all. We'll call this the half hour we'll never have back.
Yeah, this movie could be about 40 minutes shorter with about most of the subplots cut out, and I think it would be a lot better for it.
Yeah, totally. So in the final third of the movie, after Asuka and Hayato get close-ish, and he tries to strike a deal with Shocker to keep her safe in exchange for
which
killing
will backfire
Hongo.
Horribly.
Well,
naturally.
Well, actually, not keep her safe. He just wants to keep her.
Yeah.
Yes, but she's marked for death herself, the same way that Katsuhiko was. But since he fails to kill Hongo, Shocker changes her mind and doesn't want to kill her anymore. They just decide to abduct her for a Shocker experiment for more human remodeling.
I'm going to assume that involves tentacles at some point.
Surprisingly not. So naturally at this point, Hongo and Hayato, Hayato is also now branded a traitor for trying to save Asuka. It forces them to put their differences aside and work together to save the woman they've been fighting to the death over up until now. That makes total sense,
who
right?
could have seen that coming?
So, one last flashback to the hospital reveals a Shocker agent visiting the inexplicable pair of patients and offering them the chance to become inhumanoids themselves and be cured of their ills. And suddenly it sort of makes sense why we've been following them for so bloody long. Except not really.
But we're long beyond caring at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really certain if we're supposed to like develop feelings for these characters, because you know he was kind of a dick and she was kind of a busybody.
Yeah.
So are we supposed to be sad that it became Shockers or glad or
I don't really get it either, because nothing would have been lost in the movie by dropping that whole subplot and having Cobra and Snake just show up.
Well, something would have been lost about a good 20-30 minutes.
No.
And then
No, that's what we lost by having it.
Yeah.
But if you lose that, the viewers would be less lost.
Well, it certainly would have been less confusing at the point they started following the hospital subplot. Because, you know, Hongo drops off the girl who he nearly killed by saving her, and then suddenly we're on the roof with somebody trying to jump off the building. And it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, I wonder if this storytelling makes sense in Japan. Or if this was considered poorly handled there as well.
I have no idea. Well, it got a sequel, so it couldn't have been received that badly, right?
So maybe this is kind of like Car Ranger.
Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah, but, you know, the 2007 movie was better than Revenge of the Fallen.
And Revenge of the Fallen still made gulps of money.
Yeah.
So it was still poorly received.
Well, okay.
After it hits 9 figures, I don't think they care about the reception and just greenlight the sequel anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. So Hongo and Hayato take a boat to the island where Shocker's base is located and beat ass through the Shocker soldiers up until they start getting their own asses handed to them by the other Inhumanoids. But ultimately, determination, love stories, and burning justice win the day as Hongo rescues Asuka just before a large drill bores into her skull, and Hayato throws away his hopper mask and rides off to die a slow, painful death as his body rejects all the Shocker super science he's been filled up with.
You know, I'm uncertain as how drilling a giant hole through someone's skull gives them superpowers. That was never really made terribly clear to me.
Yeah, I don't really understand either. Presumably that's the first step in implanting things in the body.
Well, you gotta put a 2-inch wide hole through their brain.
Or they don't have that, or it does not, or it stops short of there and it's just there to make them shit their pants or something because it's funny.
It opens their bowels. It's a suppository.
Normally implanting things in a female just involves a nickel.
No, that's just your mom.
Yeah, I don't really, count that as a female.
Really, this is Japan, and if they're going to be implanting something up somewhere, I don't think it's going to be as a suppository or involve a drill. As Paladin mentioned before, where are the tentacles? That was you, right?
I think so, yes.
We'll go with that. And so that was Masked Rider the First.
Your summary was much more exciting than actually watching it.
Shorter, too.
I've seen worse things, but like I've certainly seen better.
Case in point, Ghost Ager.
Yeah, it wasn't as boring as Ghost Ager.
Yeah, I mean, you know, stuff actually happened. And you
and
know,
there were moments when it was interesting.
It wasn't completely retarded, so it wasn't Ghost Ager. And
it definitely smacked of 90s Japanese cinema, though.
It was made in 2005.
Right.
Which is kind of sad, really. It reminded me a lot of Gunhead. And there was some interesting stuff going on, but it was just really boring overall.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're coming back to that thing where the whole hospital storyline might as well have been omitted and make the movie shorter and the story fit together more tightly.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been a lot more enjoyable without that extra 20, 30 minutes.
Might have even been bearable without that extra 20 or 30 minutes.
So why don't you make a renegade version?
You know, this was a theatrical movie, so I guess they felt the need to have it be a certain minimum length and
of 4 hours?
Hour and a half.
Seriously, I know it was like only an hour and a half?
Yeah, I know it felt like four. I actually
thought it was like watching Dune or something.
I actually watched this very early this morning and kept debating between finishing it and going back to sleep. And I think at one point I was doing both simultaneously.
How could you tell the difference?
Well, that's why I'm not entirely sure. But, I mean, it could have been worse. We could have watched Shin.
Isn't Shin supposed to be brief, though?
What is Shin, like 50 minutes?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. But, you know, Shin was a direct-to-video, not a theatrical. No, actually, Masked Rider the Next is actually a little bit better than this, mostly because it doesn't have the hospital thing. Then it just has... What?
Good.
Sort of.
Yeah. This is the second time I've watched Masked Rider the First, and I have to say I enjoyed it less than I did the first time. Not really sure it calls for rewatching ever.
Probably not.
Mm. But, you know, it's interesting in that it is, as Fort Mac calls it, the Buckets of Blood version of Masked Rider, done for the audience who grew up with it as little kids. Because this was going on the, what, 35th anniversary?
Almost that, yeah, I think.
Yeah, the 35th anniversary would have been the next year. So, you know, it makes sense, kind of. I'm sure the adult Japanese people who went and watched this thought it was exactly like what it was when it was on when they were little kids in 1971.
Sure.
Back when the Kamen Rider figure was the same one as the Masterpiece Kamen Rider figure?
Yes. I wonder what kind of Masked Rider figures they had back then.
Probably really shitty ones.
Or wood.
Tin.
They were trains.
Deno?
Yeah.
You've been watching Deno, haven't you?
Yes, I finished episode 8 last night.
What do you think of it so far?
I'm becoming increasingly fond of Momotaros.
Yeah, that's not difficult.
I can't put my finger on why he's so hypnotic to watch. I think it's because he's acting in mime. No, I think it's because his character acts in mime. Therefore, he's expressive through body motion rather than facial.
It might also be those dead black eyes.
But, I mean, he's a lot more believable a character than most rubber suits. I think it's because the actor they have playing him is more expressive through body motion.
The actor who's playing him is the same suit actor who does most of the Masked Riders in the Heisei series.
Ah.
So let's just say he's got a bit of experience.
Yeah.
Well, in Plasine, the Imogen are the main characters.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm a bit thrown that there's no villain group so far.
Well, yeah, but I've explained before that Double and O's and whatever else.
They're unusual.
It's not exactly the normal format.
They're exceptions to the rule.
They
work better that way.
Fishing rod.
What, Mickey?
I'm sorry. I'm used that rod form is a fishing rod, not like a fighting rod. That's something I'd heard before, so.
There's not really any organization to the villains until pretty late in the series. So, basically how it is now is how it stays for the majority of the time.
Oh, also, while we're on the subject, do you have a full-length version of the theme song?
I've got several different kinds.
That's the problem. I looked on the Range Board, I found all these different versions of it, but they're all weird sounding. I couldn't find the standard theme song full version.
Did you get the Rider Chips version?
No.
You might like that one.
So is there not an extended cut of just the basic theme song?
Oh, no, there is.
Okay.
Deno's got soundtracks on top of soundtracks.
Yeah.
As you might imagine.
Yeah, I found one that was like a collection of nothing but remixes of the theme song done different ways.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that actually... Oh, just the Deno one, you mean?
Yeah, just Deno. It was just like 8 Deno themes in a row.
Because when Decade came out, there was also a special set of CDs with different versions of all the Heisei series themes. But yeah, there's definitely a normal version of Climax Jump full length.
That song's irritatingly catchy.
Just like the series.
I don't think I've reached that point with it yet.
You will if you keep watching.
And you'll never, ever be finished watching it.
Not yet.
It never ends.
Yeah, we're not going down that road, Fort Max. Good try, though. So, anything else going on this week?
I have to shave tomorrow.
Trackway is pretty awesome.
Surprisingly, yes, he is awesome.
I got my GoBots DVD.
I'm sorry.
Our condolences.
You're listening to Superhero Time, going completely off subject.
I have a bunch of Warpaths.
Asshole.
That's actually kind of awesome. I got all these Warpaths, I haven't even opened one yet. Well, I've been
just
busy today,
away.
Okay? Yeah, I'm going to dump one into a blender and make a video for YouTube. would be awesome.
What would be great if somehow you could like make a mold of him? Let's make replicas out of Play-Doh and just put all of them in there at once.
Yes, that would also be a good way to go with it. Well, I think this is going to be a short show this week.
Yay.
Yay for the listener.
Yay for you, too. It means less time you have to edit.
Yes, I can go to sleep earlier and get started earlier in the morning.
You can, but you won't.
Well, I kind of need to, don't I?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Way to keep up, Mickey.
I'm sorry, I'm not paying attention.
No, none of us are.
But no, seriously.
No, I take it back. I'm not sorry.
You regret nothing.
It's too late for apologies.
We did that at the start of the show.
Turn back now.
So yeah, I guess that's the show, right?
For better or worse, yes.
No comment. Okay, so next week on Power Playback, it's the much-awaited debut of Movie Wars Core.
And it sure was something.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be better than this something.
Haven't you watched it yet, Paladin?
It's still trying to download.
I'm sorry.
I have not watched it yet, but I've heard incredible things about it.
Well, that's one way to put it.
There are things that defy credibility.
See also this show.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, if you did. If not, you're not hearing this anyway, so I don't have to talk to you.
And if you are, you're a big liar anyway, so...
Interesting perspective, Fort Max.
Why is everyone talking in slow motion?
I don't know.
It's
well, you were faking it.
In thing to do, I guess.
No, your mom did the same thing.
Your mom never has to fake it.
And she never goes slow. Either that or she's so big that she's perpetually in slow motion. Except when she's falling down, that's pretty fast.
It's funny, too.
Or going through a buffet.
Well, she doesn't really go through the buffet. The buffet comes to her.
And she's assimilated.
Because she just breathes in really hard. And there's like vacuum force, you know.
Kind of Moby Dick.
In every possible way.
Well, no, what was the name of the whale in Pinocchio? Monstro.
Okay, Monstro?
Yeah.
You're Monstro. Yeah, so at this point, I think we're done. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah,
don't take any wooden nickels.
Bye now.
So long.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, Fort Max, you can make that noise.
This has been Superhero Time with your hosts, XV, Hey Mickey, Paladin, and Fort Max. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
Paladin, what did you review this week?
Something.
No, really, what was it? I don't remember.
Wing Knight.
Oh, okay. Right, I sent you a copy of that. Did you listen to it?
Probably not.
You don't know if you listened to it?
Not really.
Is Paladin really here? Is there like a Paladin soundboard that XV is just pressing?
Tim Curry.